Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, continuing on with our vision this year, today I want to talk about your citizenship in the kingdom of God. If you have missed the last couple of weeks, I want to encourage you. The last 2 weeks, we've been sharing the vision, and I want to get a little deeper today on the vision for our church this year and continue to share what God has laid on our hearts as we get in agreement, as we're moving forward into what God has for us in each of our lives, individually and collectively. In the United States of America, you are a citizen because you are born here. That is how you get your citizenship, natural citizenship, by being born here. To be a citizen of God's kingdom, you have to be born again. And so everybody gets that and understands that. But, you know, we have people that are citizens of the United States and act like they don't even know it. Or they act like they don't want to be. And I'm like, see. Well, but really, it's no different. We have people that are citizens of God's kingdom, but you'd never know it. And I hope that as a Christian, we don't get that same attitude at times. I have had the privilege of traveling all over the world earlier in my life. At the age of 14 in 1984, I got to travel to Europe and represent the United States of America in the World Music Contest in Kerkrade, Holland. And so it was a great privilege, a great honor for me. And I traveled over there, and it was with the marching band because I was a brass player and had competed in a lot of competitions and been selected to go to Europe at 14. My mom's like, "You don't need to be in Europe at 14. But it was a different day and time, and so she sent my grandfather with me. And so my grandfather went as my chaperone. I never saw him the whole time we were there, but he was there. And so anyway, I'll never forget being in Kerkrade, Holland. We traveled and we toured all over the place. And in Kerkrade, Holland, we marched into this outdoor stadium where they were having all these musical competitions for people all over the world. And we were representing the United States of America. When we marched in, they started clapping. And they weren't all clapping together. They started all just clapping like an applause. And then it started going like this. And they started chanting USA. And not hardly anybody in this whole stadium would speak English. But there was respect and an honor for the people that were citizens of the United States of America in 1984. And I'll never forget that. And I'll never get out of my head how honoring it was to be able to be a representative and to say my citizenship is right here in the United States of America. I remember it like it was yesterday. The problem is now if I was in Kerkrade, Holland, there's just a different feel. I've talked to a lot of different people, and when they go to different countries, they are real careful about saying I'm a United States citizen, because if you do in certain parts of the world, you're getting ready to be attacked. Verbally, mentally, something is getting ready to happen. It could be physically. And I don't know now. I talked to Alvin and different people from other countries, and they're like, you got to be really careful about who you tell your citizenship to. Well, I think that's horrible, except for I kind of understand that now. When we're talking about the citizenship of heaven, the kingdom of God, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. Do you ever walk in places and you're like, I don't know if they want to know that I'm a citizen of the kingdom? We have to fight that same thought in our spiritual lives because we're in a world that don't really care if you're a Christian or not. But what are you doing? Are you going to say, yeah, no, that's not me. I'm not a citizen of the kingdom. I'm not. Or be like Peter, I never knew him. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know what are you talking about? So I can't get citizenship. Just this last week, citizenship in the kingdom has been in my heart. And it's just what we need to think about when we're thinking about the kingdom of God. God has shown himself to us, and we need to operate based on a knowing that he has shown himself to us. We're citizens of the kingdom. Last week, we defined the kingdom of God. And simply put, we talked about this last week. It's God's rule. Hard concept for us Americans because we live in a republic, not a kingdom. So when we start talking about kingdom principles and living under a kingdom rule or God's rule, it's tough because we don't live under anybody's rule. We're Americans, and we don't like who's trying to rule us. We'll vote them out. Well, let me just tell you, you're not voting God out. God's kingdom operates different. And we as God's people need to understand that. I want to define today how to know that you are living according to the kingdom of God and as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Two aspects today of our citizenship that we can see in a citizen. These are things that you can see as being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Two things. Number one, our relationship with God and the interaction thereof. So our interaction with God, our relationship with God. If you're a citizen of God's kingdom, you need to be interacting with God because he is the king. Number two, you can tell a citizen of the kingdom of God based on their interaction with people around them. Two really simple points, but it seems very difficult for most. See, a citizen is seen by how they interact with God and how they interact with others. And as I started out, there's a lot of people that would claim Christianity, but with these two points, you don't ever see them interact with God, and you don't see their interaction with others being God-based. We're scared to tell people. We're whatever the case. We don't want to tell them. We want to blend in. We want to be like everybody else. See, as an American citizen, you're born here. In the kingdom of God, you're born again, not physically, but spiritually. And as an American citizen, you operate based on your citizenship. For now. I'm hoping and believing that it stays this way. For now, as an American citizen, you should be able to operate in freedom. The First Amendment, you have the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, press, assembly, and petition. The Declaration of Independence says free Americans have unalienable rights given by our Creator for what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of. See, we know that. We've been trained in that. We understand that. But do we know that and do we live by it? Well, I tell you, right now there's an attack going on in America based on the things that we as citizens should have the freedom to operate in. Well, know this, there's always been an attack on the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, on the way that we operate. There's always an attack. You have an enemy and he's always waiting to kick on you. See, we should operate as someone who shares what God has done, what he is doing, and what we're believing him to do. Based on the word. When you're living according to the kingdom of God, you're living according to the rule of God, which means you have submitted your life to his rule and doing exactly what he says. There shouldn't be a pleading from someone else to tell you to live by that. There should be a want to for you as a citizen to live under God's rule and his mandates. It's a word that came from the Roman Empire that I think we have separated ourselves from. Tim talked about this down at the ministries conference, and I just said that's a word our church has to understand. There is a word that's very Christian associated only that we use in our society, and it's called preach. 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 Well, that's great. So, Pastor, I need you to do the preaching. And I will. I'm all about it. But I think it'll help you to understand a little bit more about a word that is not a Christian word. It's a Roman word. It's not a Christian word. It's a Roman word. The word preach can be explained like this. In the Roman Empire, when a king made a proclamation, a herald rode throughout the region preaching that proclamation. So to preach would mean a herald would go and he would yell out and give the king's proclamation to everyone who said they were under the king's rule. He'd go out and give the proclamation. He'd go all throughout the land telling everybody, here's what the king said. The herald would repeat whatever the king said. He would repeat whatever the king said, word for word, whatever the king said. He was an honor for the herald to carry the king's message. And he would say, I have an honor position for you today to know that the king has said to you, I have the honor to tell you what the king said. I want you to know, as pastor of Christian Ministries Church, I have an honor. It's an honor for me to tell you what the King said. And I do that through the avenue of preaching. You know what? We believe here in the priesthood of the believer, and you have immediate access to God. And so God speaks directly to you, and you can be a preacher too. Praise God. Well, I'm not a pastor. There's a difference here. I'm not talking about a part of the fivefold ministry. I'm talking about sharing a proclamation that the King said. We all need to understand what preach means. So I sit in crowds, and I've done this for years. Preach it, preach it. I'll sit and I'll hear somebody proclaim something from the King, and I'm like, preach it. That, or if you heard someone say, that'll preach. Yeah, they're saying that because that's preaching right there. That'll preach. That's exactly, that's the word of God. That's what you're delivering. We're all preachers. We all need to understand that God has a call in each of our life to proclaim what the King said. If you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Are y'all following me? You with me? All right, so Revelation 19:10. Based on these two points that we gave, an interaction with God and an interaction with others, the scripture backs up here in Revelation 19:10, the importance of your testimony, which is just, your testimony is just a proclamation. It's a proclamation of what God has said and what he has done and that you are submitted to his rule. Let's read 19:10. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. So this reads to me, as a citizen of heaven, a citizen should testify about their faith in Jesus, right? As a citizen of the kingdom of God, we should testify of our relationship with Jesus. Now, you won't testify of your relationship with the King, with God, unless you know Jesus. See, you won't do that. But our testimony, and the greatest testimony you'll ever have, is telling someone how you came to know him. Here's how I came to know him. Here is my story of coming to understand who he is. And I came on that day and time to know him as my Lord and Savior. And at that date, that time, my life transformed. And now I'm in my 50s and I was 8 when that happened. And I'm telling you, for the last 40 some odd years, I just can't even tell you the relationship with God the Father that has grown. I know him so much sweeter, so much better, because I have maintained a relationship, not just a one-time deal at 8 years old, but I've grown. And in that growing, then you have other things to testify about besides just you coming to know him. You can get up here and say, I was going up this hill, and then I reached the top of it, and I started to go down the next, and all of a sudden I put my brakes on, my e-brake, all at the same time, and I don't know how this happened, but I backed up, and then we just backed in, and my wife's crying, and it's going to be okay. Did y'all hear Michael's testimony this morning? And then in the middle of a snowstorm, them crazy four-wheeler riders and ATV guys out there just having fun, just happened to drive right by this secluded area and say, hey, I know the fire chief. And the fire chief just happens to see that as important and go up and say, why don't y'all come over? We're going to have jambalaya. We're going to cook some food the next morning. We got a good fire going. We don't have electricity, but we'll have fun. And by the way, if you do this, you got to add me on Facebook. How can you make up stories like that? You can't. But all of those stories only come because I had an experience that I established a relationship and now I have a life of knowing him. And let me just tell you more about him. I got more to talk about. And you just keep talking about the goodness of God. That story goes on. You just got a little glimpse of the goodness of God. I want to look at a story where someone encountered Jesus in Scripture. John chapter 4, verse 5. John chapter 4, verse 5, Jesus had left Judea and returned to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria on the way, and eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there in verse 6, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. All right, so this picture is there's a woman that's at the well at noon alone. She came about that time. No one else is there, and here's Jesus. She comes at that time because no one else is ever there. God is so intentional about putting you in places. And so she goes and he's there, and all of a sudden she's meeting Jesus at a place she never dreamed she would be ministered to. But she meets Jesus, and here's an example set for us on how to operate. So many times in my past, I'd find myself all alone when I was in high school. The only thing that really gave me any peace during my high school years was when I was either behind an instrument or I was singing. I tried sports, broke my ankle, and so I was like, this probably isn't a good thing for me. So I just stayed in the music area, and I really worked hard in the music realm. And I just found every time I would turn and go, God, I don't even know where you are, he was right there. I'm just story after story. I moved out of my house at 16. Mom and Dad were going through a horrible time, and I'll just make it, and I'll go through the one thing that I know, God, you gifted me in, and I took off, and I can handle all this. And I don't recommend this to anybody. There's a lot of alone time when you don't have any family. And I just, no family, nothing going, what do you do? And I remember night sleeping in my car, crying out to God, God, where are you? And then I'd turn on a radio or I'd put a CD in. And it tended to be everything I ever put in or the music that I surrounded myself that I really knew was Christian music, Southern gospel, church stuff. You know, I could play a lot of music that I had memorized, but the stuff that I really knew how to play was the old hymns of the church. And so I'd get my instrument out and I'd just start playing. Every once in a while, I'd get into a little jazz stuff. It was fun. But then that jazz would lead me right back into an old hymn that I would know. And I'd start playing that. And then before long, I really remember just sitting up on the top of a mountain overlooking the lake one day, and I just throwing rocks in there, and I just started singing because I was looking at the beauty of God and all by myself alone. And if you know anything about me, I just really enjoy people. And I could always find people, but the problem was they weren't fulfilling what I was looking for. And I just remember thinking, God, I need you. And I just, every time that I was hurting, I would start talking about the deep hurts that were, I'm getting ahead of myself. My natural citizenship was messed up. It just messed up. But I was a member of the kingdom of heaven, and there were so many times that I just remember thinking, wow, wow, wow. Verse 9, the woman was surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Samaritans were people who were hated by the Jews. Ezra and Nehemiah, they talk a lot about this, and I'm not going to get into a great lengthy explanation. Partly they were hated because they were descendants of the Israelites that had intermarried with foreigners, and these foreigners worshiped other gods, and it was kind of a big deal to when you've changed citizenship. It's kind of a big deal. So the woman's telling Jesus, you know, our kind hate each other. We don't really get along here. I mean, we shouldn't even be associating with each other. And it's you and me, but you know his love for everyone, regardless of their natural citizenship, compelled him. Compelled him. And our love for Jesus should compel us to have conversations with people regardless of their background, their race, their ethnicity. We have encountered the same love this Samaritan woman was encountering right here at the well. And Jesus associated himself with us, and we're only able through his love to be able to talk about and stand in righteous standing with a holy God. Verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water." If you only knew who you're talking to, if you only knew the gift that God has, if you only knew, you don't have a clue who you're talking to. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well's very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied in verse 13, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." In this exchange, the woman is asking questions. Jesus is answering her, and she becomes a little religious. Come on, we all know people who just, let's get all religious. Come on, I can talk Bible. I can talk. I know exactly all this. And so she becomes religious or defensive. And Jesus, what's he do? He just keeps answering in kindness. "If you only knew who I was and what you could ask of me and what would be granted for you, if you only knew." See what he was doing? He was foretelling. He was giving her prophecy, if you will. He was giving her what would one day be her salvation. What would one day be her promise that he made for her. You remember how Jesus kept you doing things that showed his pursuit of you? He just kept doing it. When you acted like, and even maybe thought, "I want nothing to do with this Christianity or Jesus. I don't want anything. Just leave me alone, Jesus. I'm in this horrible place." And he still pursued you. I just remember being there. I had switched schools in my freshman year of high school, and nobody knew me. And I come down there in this area, and I'm just, I have a little bit of talent in music, but I wasn't showing anybody. It's kind of in the background. And next thing you know, I had a friend of mine come and say, "Hey, I'd like to have you sing with us in a little ensemble, a little group." Okay, well, I'll try that. What are we singing? And all I knew was this guy played the kind of music I like listening to, a lot of different stuff of major bands that had horns in them. And he said, "Well, we're singing gospel music." And he didn't know I was a Christian. He didn't know anything about me that I thought. And I start singing, just go over and we sing a little bit. Next thing you know, all of a sudden, Jesus starts showing himself, pursuing me. I'm standing around a piano singing and tears coming down my eyes. In a public high school, and I'm like, I remember this like it was yesterday. How can the power? Because God's going to meet you wherever you are. He'll pursue you where you are. He chose you. You need to know that. You didn't choose him. He chose you. That's just a cool thought. He chose you. You didn't say, "Okay, I'll take God." No, he chose you and said, "Now what do you think?" And he left it in your hands. "I want you. I want you. I want you." Guy comes up to me. "Hey, why don't you come sing with us? We'd like you." He was just a messenger of Jesus. That's all he was. And he came up, "Hey, why don't you sing with us?" Yeah. Next thing you know, there's Jesus right there. Yeah. I'm like, wow. This is what's happening right here. Verse 15, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." She asked, and he's answering with something better than she could even make sense of. In her defensive stance, she finally saw there were some walls falling down off of her. "You got some water I hadn't thought of. What are you talking about? I come here every day in the heat of the day. I come right here in the middle of the day, and you wouldn't believe how much water I have to come and get. And I have to come when nobody else is here because I'm a Samaritan and everybody hates me." And she, all these things are breaking down. And wait, I don't have to draw water again? What are you talking about? At that point, indoor plumbing hadn't really been invented. A pump I've got a 3-horsepower pump for you. No, that's not what he did. And he had some interest in her. And he said, "Let me talk to you about a different citizenship. You've only been operating like this, but there's a different way to operate." See, she's alone in the heat of the day. Why would anyone want to go to get water in the heat of the day? Go with a friend. Go at a different time. You probably have some options here, lady. I believe that she was avoiding people. Come on, you just look at her life. She's avoiding people. I don't want to be here with anybody else. She was hurting. There were some things that she obviously didn't want to talk about. And here's Jesus, and what's he do? He reads her mail. Let's keep reading here. Verse 16, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I think there was a pause, and because you don't read pause all the time in Scripture, but let's pause for effect here. Jesus, hey, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. And he said, I'm going to read your mail. You're right. And I don't think she is like offended that he said you're right, because I think he just went right in. But I think in Jesus' mind, you know, thanks for telling the truth here. A lot of people lying to Jesus. You're right. And then she goes on, or he goes on, you don't have a husband. And then he reads her totally, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. And I just, once again, there had to be a pause. And probably a little bit of shaking, because all of a sudden Jesus called out, here's the problem. There is a problem here. Women in that time, in that citizenship, were in a position of property to someone. That's who they were. And they couldn't initiate divorce. Now, there were some extreme circumstances that others could help her with, but she couldn't initiate divorce. So the woman has had five husbands. Now, you got to hear this. So either she had been rejected by five men, or she had had five husbands that had died. It was one of the two. She either had suffered major, I'm talking about five rejections. How do you think someone would feel with five rejections? I see people go into an area of remorse with one or two, but she's had five, and that's bad, but what if all five of them died? She is in a world of hurt, and I don't want anybody else in my life. I don't want to be rejected by one more person. I don't want one more person to be around me, because people that get around me just tend to die. I don't know what it was, but something is in her heart going, I don't know. I mean, this is extreme. And this Samaritan woman had been subjected to foreign gods, had experienced severe loss. She'd been in covenant relationship. She understood covenant relationship with five men. Interesting fact here, according to Bible stories, this is the first woman Jesus revealed himself to that we read. Huh. And he reveals himself for who he is and what she needs. The covenant she's in need of living by gives her entrance to living by a different set of standards. Come on, we need to hear this, not as a story about her, but how this applies to our life. Verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. What she's saying is, I don't get this right now. Come on, you as a Christian, you as someone who knows that Jesus has some promises, I don't get this right now. I don't know why I'm having to live this way right now. But when he comes, everything will be explained. Jesus told her, hey, guess what? I am the Messiah. Woo! I don't know, but when I read that, I just go, I get all excited. Just then, though, he says that, and the disciples come back, and they're shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask what he was talking to the woman about. What do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who read my mail. Come and see a man who told me everything. He told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Boy, I love this part of the story. Jesus showed her love. He addressed the one area she needed the most help in that had caused her the most pain, had been her greatest loss, and he gave her hope for a better life. Come on, that's a good story. That's a good story. He continually touches the areas of our life that are in pain, that have caused us to live different, that have caused us to live according to a different citizenship, if you will. When the area that is causing us the most pain is not ever allowed to be seen by Jesus because you won't talk to him about it, or because you're avoiding him or anything else that has to do with that area of pain, you're just fooling yourself. He already knows. Come on, he read her. She didn't tell the whole story. I don't have a husband. You're right. Let me go ahead and tell you the rest of the story. What he told her was what she didn't think he knew. Let me say that again. What Jesus told her was what she thought he didn't know. You're not hiding anything from an all-knowing God. And when he said, I already know, it was revelation for her. And then when he revealed himself even to the point of saying, hey, I am the Messiah. I'm the one that's been foretold. I'm the one that can make a difference in your life. And I have already explained to you what you said he will one day explain. See, when the Messiah comes, I'll know it all. What she didn't realize is that he was already there and he already said, I'm explaining this to you. You have living water. And when it was revelation that she wasn't hiding anything and I can just let this go, she leaves the water that she came to draw by the well. She didn't even take it back with her. She said, I got different water here. She wasn't worried about bringing that water back. She left all of her stuff that was a necessity right there with Jesus, ran back to proclaim who Jesus was. I got to tell everybody else. Verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. And Jesus said, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples said. Jesus said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe with a harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another one harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. And others have already done the work, and you're going to get a great harvest. This is what's going to happen. You're going to get a great... Jesus saw ministering to this woman's heart a primary concern, and the disciples walk up and say, what are you doing talking about all this? And he said, you don't understand. The harvest is ready for us. It's ready. When God created us, he knew what we needed and what would provide fulfillment for us. And it was way more than just lunch, supper. I need a drink of water. You and I need a feeling that only the Holy Spirit can take care of. And I'm not saying you need to quit eating. I'm just saying don't put your physical food and your physical needs ahead of your spiritual needs. See, that's living according to the wrong citizenship. This is what it's doing. We need to see the kingdom harvest that's available wherever we are. If we're at a well, if we're at school, if we're at work, if we're at home, citizens of heaven is what we are. You're in a place every day. I'm not talking about this morning. We're all getting equipped and getting ready to go out and get the harvest that's ready for us. How do we do that? We go right back to living by our citizenship. How do you know that someone lives by their citizenship? One is that they are in an active relationship with a holy God because of what Jesus did. They have encountered Jesus. The other thing is they're living talking about their daily encounter with him. People have gone before you that has ministered to you. Who are you going before that you are ministering to now? Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. And they came out to see him. They begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Church, hear this today. We need to always be talking about what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. How do you do that? You do that through fulfilling his call of your citizenship on your life by saying, here's how I know Jesus. And I came to know him at 8, but you know what happened yesterday? You know what happened today? You know, and so every day I get up and I say, God, I need to know something right now. I need to know, what are you doing in my life today? And then I'll get in the Word, I'll get into a podcast, I'll get into something, and it just reveals truth of how I've seen him every day of my life, every day of my life. And then what do? I start talking about it, start telling people. You wouldn't believe what just happened this morning. This morning, just sitting there in prayer in my office this morning, God laid a pastor on my heart, and he gave me a word from him, and I just sent a quick text and said, I just want you to know God is doing great things. And all I wrote was, I just want you to know that he has a plan. And in his plan is a detailed description of what you need to do and the time it needs to be done in. And so I just wanted you to know that God hasn't left you or forsaken you, but there's a plan. And just know that God's going to fulfill that. He wrote back one of them wow and teary face things. I mean, OGs, what, those things. And I mean, it was just one of those things that, thank you. You wouldn't believe how I needed that this morning. And I just, all I know is, those things only, what did the Samaritan need? She needed Jesus right there. And Jesus knew that. And he said, I know everything that you need. He gave her what she needed. How about you? Has Jesus given you everything you need? Here's what I can always tell you. When he showed up was when I finally revealed the areas deep in my heart that were hurting. God, I'm hurting right now. I'm lonely. I'm dealing with this. I've got a medical issue. I've got this. Or I don't know what it is, but it's areas that are hard. Well, what I can tell you is there's just something about revealing those areas to him. He already knows them, but tell him. He wants to meet your deepest area of hurt. Sometimes he does it by talking to others. So go talk to someone about your deepest areas of hurt. But be ready, because if you're talking to a Christian, what they're going to give you is a God answer. Based on their citizenship, because they're just a herald for the king. See how this whole thing comes together? That's just all they're going to do is be a herald for the king. And hopefully and prayerfully, if you go to a Christian, they'll give you biblical advice on what to do. And then this lady went back to the village and said, hey, he told me everything I ever did. You need to meet him. It may be the Messiah. You know, she didn't say it was the Messiah. She knew that, but she said it may be the Messiah. Why did she say it like that? Because you haven't made the choice yet. So you have to go make a decision. This may work for you. It works for me every time, because that's the way the kingdom of God operates, according to his kingdom. Well, what about in your citizenship here in the United States? I can't tell you, but to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, a lot of different scriptures, and the worst thing that could happen is I'll just be present with him. So I don't sit here and get caught up on, wait, if I live, then it's for Christ. Are you hearing how the scripture just becomes so real? So today, here's my question for you. What is the area of deepest hurt? Because that's the area that you're avoiding God in. And you're not fooling him. But what's your area of deepest hurt? You keep going to wherever you are alone, at break time, at work time, at night when you're going to sleep, you can't go to sleep. Can't talk to anybody about it because I can't let anybody find this out. What area? See, when you're thinking like that, you need to just change your citizenship over to the kingdom of God, because he will take care of that hurt. Will y'all stand with me this morning?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.